Our second scripture reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. It is the choosing of the seven. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word.
How many of you have ever been a part of a clique? I won't have you raise your hand. But I'm guessing almost every single one of us at some point in our lives has been part of a group of people that was rather cliquish. So easy to do, isn't it? Whether you're in church or whether you're someplace else, if there's a number of people and over time you get together with those people that you share a lot of commonality with, and you enjoy each other's company, and you can become over time a bit cliquish. We could do that in a church. I recall a story that may have been shared with you a long time ago. But when my wife and I were in seminary, and at the time I think this happened, we had two of the kids, Matt and Amber, and Courtney was probably warming up in the oven there a little bit. But we attended a church just a few miles away from the seminary. And we would always sit like you do here in the same spot in church. You people who don't do that, I get confused on Sunday morning. But we sat in the back, right where Dave and June are there, where we sat in the back because in case our kids started acting up, we'd have a way to get out of the church with the kids and do what we had to do. On one Sunday morning, this is a fairly large church, but the congregation wasn't really that big, so there were some empty areas in the church, but on one particular morning there was a gentleman that came into the church that sat a few rows up from where we were off on this side, and he was all by himself, and there was no one in the pews behind him or ahead of him, and he looked like he was a pretty troubled guy. He was homeless. And he sat there, and I was waiting because we got there, 5-10 minutes before the service, and we were waiting to see if that would fill in there, and it didn't. So I told Lisa, "I gotta go up and sit with this guy. He looks alone." I realized why people weren't sitting by him. He stunk. Probably hadn't showered in weeks. His hands were all crusty. His beard had foreign objects in it that I wasn't sure what it was. And he was in pretty sad shape. But I sat with him, even though it was hard to breathe through the service. The guy was mentally ill because I tried to engage with him, and I could tell this guy just was not able to communicate very well at all. But I was hoping at least one thing was communicated with him. He was noticed and loved. I don't always do that, folks. I'm not tooting my horn when I share that, because there are times in my life I don't do like I did that Sunday morning. There's times in my life when I don't do that because maybe I'm just with some people that I really love to be around and I don't want to be bothered by something else. You find yourself in that boat sometimes? When I don't want to be bothered by someone or something else. And so I look at the church and I see the church sometimes. And as I've shared with you so many times, I am so grateful to pastor this church because I really think this church is a warm and loving church. But that does not mean that we are perfect. And it does not mean that sometimes people slip through the cracks. It does not mean that you and I have to be conscious of the fact that sometimes we want to be in the comfortable situation and not in the uncomfortable situation. So I really want to challenge us this morning with that. Because sometimes we as a church can pat ourselves on the back and say, we do a pretty good job with that, so we don't need to be bothered. The early church struggled with the same thing. You'd think the church that was closest in proximity to when Jesus was here, that they would have all their ducks in a row and everything was going just so well. And this was a church that was almost pure. But no, the early church struggled too, didn't they? And in fact, in chapter 6, we see one of the struggles, don't we? Like we've seen even earlier in Acts, as we're going through this book. And here was a click that was going on between the Grecian Jews, which some would call them almost the wannabe Jews, and the Aramaic speaking, or in some of the translations, the actual Hebrew speaking Jews. Those are the real Jews. Those are the ones that were, you know, just like in the church. The people who've been here for 50 years. That's the real church here. And those who come later on, well, they're, we got to train them. We laugh. We do that sometimes, don't we? We want them to be more like us. And so we train them to be more like us. You see what I'm saying? We're guilty of that kind of thing. Same thing's going on here. The Grecian Jews were being overlooked. Especially the widows with the distribution of food. They were being overlooked. But they looked at those Aramaic-speaking Jews and they said, they're being so well taken care of and we're not. Maybe they kind of stunk a little bit like this homeless guy that we were dealing with in that church. Probably not. But they were being overlooked. They were being overlooked. There was cliques in the early church, weren't there? Remember when Paul had to address Peter? When Peter was with some Gentile believers talking to them because he had already kind of discovered this whole thing that God had come, Jesus had come, not just for the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. But as soon as some of the Jewish Christians came along, the Jewish people came along, he kind of meandered away from them and went over to be with them. And Paul called them out on that. That's in Acts 2. We'll get to that one down the road here. Has the church changed over the last 2,000 years? I don't think so. We have cliques today, just like they did then. But my question is, from the text we're reading this morning, how does a healthy church respond to these kinds of problems? How does a healthy church respond to this kind of thing that's going on? The disciples knew there was a problem. Because they'd been told there was a problem. So when there's a need, what does the church do? When there's a need in the church, I believe the church needs to address it. I was talking with someone this morning, it was so funny. And we were talking about ignorance is bliss. And I said, well, in the sermon this morning, I was going to share with the people that ignorance is not bliss. The disciples knew. The apostles knew that there was an issue going on in the church. And they needed to address it as important. There were some people that were being not perhaps treated as well in the church. And it needed to be addressed. Now I want to remind you of something in this text too. That what the apostles were not saying as we read through the text. They said, well, we don't want to be interrupted with this or concerned with this because we want to preach the word and let people know, and we need to be in prayer because God is doing a mighty work here and the church is growing, as you can see here. We can't be, the 12 of us can't be dealing with this, but we need to deal with it. Now, some people would say what they were actually saying in the text, it was more important for them to talk and to preach the word and to pray than it was to deal with this thing that was going on. And I don't think that's what they're doing at all. What they're saying is, God gifted us to do this. We need to seek those who are gifted to do this because that's important to do. And I want you to know that this morning in the church. I don't think there's a hierarchy in church of what's more important and what's less important. We're all equally important to God. Every single one of us. There's no hierarchy in how God looks at each and every one of us. Every single one here is looked at as equally loved, as equally important, and as equally gifted, but in a different way. I know that because what I read here, he said, now if we're going to get others to take care of this issue that we don't have time to deal with because we're dealing with our own thing that we have to deal with, what did he say? Seek 7 people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Get 7 people that you know are filled with the Holy Spirit. Here, I want to read it for you again so you know it's not coming from my mouth. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. And the whole group was pleased with this response. So they looked at this issue with unequal distribution, with the seeming of favoritism, with perhaps cliques that were starting to develop, and they're saying, we've got to deal with this, and it's important for us to deal with this. Because I tell you what, folks, if we in the church don't deal with those base level needs, they aren't going to listen to the gospel. If you and I don't deal with the base level needs of people, letting them know that we really love them and care about them, that we really do think that they are valued and important, they won't even hear what we have to say. The apostles realized that. So we've got to take care of this. Because if we take care of this the way God wants us to take care of this, people are going to listen to what we have to say. Because God is love. And He cares. So ignorance in the church is not bliss. When we see that there's a problem of some sort, we need to see it as important, even if we think it's stupid. Why are people whining about this? You know, we do that, don't we? We need to see it as important. But if we see it as important, then we also need to give it the value that the apostles were giving the value here was we need to have Spirit-filled people who can address whatever the problem is and do it in a way that's loving and caring and honors God. Instead of saying, let those idiots deal with it themselves. That's not a very Christ-like thing to say, is it? So what about the 7? 2 of them are known and 5 of them are not. Stephen was a short-term evangelist because he was stoned a little bit while later. You see, his ministry didn't last very long, did it? Shortly after this happened, he's stoned. But boy, did he speak powerfully before he was stoned. He let people know of the Word of God before he was stoned. Philip was one of the apostles, and he was one of the 7 chosen. Now, wouldn't he have thought, if I'm one of the 12, you know, we're the important ones. We're the originals. I don't want to wait on tables. I mean, can you imagine that kind of a thought coming into someone's mind? Why do we wait on tables? He knew it was important, and he was chosen because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he waited on tables. interesting thing in the scriptures is these other five are never mentioned again. They're mentioned this one time, and they're never mentioned again. I bring that out to say to you, we never should be people that seek out attention for what we do. God knew what they were doing. They were seven people filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and they did their work well. Because it says in the latter part of that text, the number of disciples increased rapidly. And even a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Remember what we've been talking about weeks earlier about a lot of the religious people? They were the ones that were the establishment. They were putting the brakes on. This new thing that's going on, we want nothing to do with it because we like the way it was before. But even a lot of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. It's amazing what happens in the church when spirit-filled people are doing what God calls them to do. The qualifications of those seven were this, only this, that they were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. They weren't professional waitresses. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. The two kind of go hand in hand. Why were these qualifications so important in the text? Because God wanted to make sure when they were addressing the needs that were given before them that only God's purposes were in mind. Not human purposes. Not them thinking, you know what, if we take care of this group of people better than this group of people because this group of people's got more money, it's going to really help us in ministry. Or we want this group of people instead of this group of people because these people are really established in the community. If they're really established in the community, that means we can get a lot of things done that we couldn't otherwise. These people are, they're new, they're whatever, they don't have much influence around here. See what I'm saying? We do that sometimes, don't we? Whether we do it intentionally or not, we do that sometimes. The only qualification was that they were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And why that was important? Not only would they have God's purposes in mind, but they would care about the people and their needs. They weren't about themselves. If you and I are full of the Holy Spirit, we're not hung up on ourselves. If you and I are full of the Holy Spirit, our concern is others, it's not me. If they were full of the Holy Spirit, they would be a conduit of God's grace. If they were full of the Holy Spirit, they would bring unity, not competitiveness or jealousy in the church. Because you know why jealousy happens? It's because I think ultimately jealousy happens because I want recognition. Really? I'm jealous that someone else is getting attention. I want attention. When we're full of the Holy Spirit, we're not concerned about those things. And also, I think it was crucial, the church was just starting, and God was saying, you've got to do this right. And the only way you'll do this right is if you're obedient to me. And the only way that you can be fully obedient to me is if you're full of the Holy Spirit of God. So I want to conclude with this. I think any time, but I think right now, we're at a crucial time in the church. I'm not just talking about this local church here, Church of the Straits, but we're at a crucial time in the church. And I want to ask ourselves this morning, are we full of the Holy Spirit? And if we're not full of the Holy Spirit, you know why we're not full of the Holy Spirit? Because we're letting sin take some residence in our life. We're giving God a room or two, but we're not giving Him all the rooms. We're holding back on some of those things because if I give God my all, then that means it kind of shakes up the way I do church. It shakes up the way I live my life. It shakes up the way I look at sin. It shakes up all those things. If I'm full of the Holy Spirit, a lot of those things get shaken up. And I'm like, oh, crud. I got work to do. If God's going to really fill my heart with all of Him, then I got to give all that I know of me to Him. And folks, it may mean that there's still some unknown things that we haven't given to Him yet. But if you give Him everything that you know of in your heart to Him, you are beginning to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So if we're not full of the Holy Spirit, let's ask God to fill us. And the way He fills us is by taking inventory of our own heart. And where are we? For a lot of years, I just wanted to be a pretty good person. Know that I was going to heaven. And other than that, God just let me kind of do it my way. But by doing it that way, I'm not doing it in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'm not being filled by the Holy Spirit when I'm asking God for conditions on what I want to do for Him and how I want to look at it. And God, don't deal with these sins because I still want to be a part of that. And when I do things I shouldn't do, Your forgiveness is always available. It's kind of cheap grace when we do it that way. So, ask ourselves, if we want to be full of the Holy Spirit, we do have work to do. But all of you, can be filled by the Holy Spirit of God. I don't care what kind of garbage you have. God can empty that garbage for you and fill you with His Spirit. None of you fall outside of that. None of you. So we're called to take inventory of our life and ask God to do a work in us so that we can do a work for Him. Will we let God use us and call us to whatever He wants to call us to? And what He may call us to is something that some might consider menial, but there's nothing menial in the body of Christ. Whatever He calls us to, He wants us filled with the Holy Spirit. So we can do whatever God wants us to do well. It does not matter what it is. You are equally important in the body of Christ, no matter what task God gives you to do. Just like the old lady Alpha went in the Norway church that Lisa and I and the kids were at. I don't know if the kids remember Alpha or not. 97-year-old lady that when she died, she was about 58 pounds. But she wondered, what good am I in the church? She used to be the organist. And for 20, 25 years, she hadn't played the organ. But she was faithful every week she would come. She prayed. Most people didn't even know she was doing it. She prayed, and her prayers were powerful and effective. And when she was dying in the hospital, and the doctor said, who happened to be a member of the church as well, said she probably won't make it through the night. She lasted for 6 more weeks. She would wake up every day and say, why does God still have me here? I'm ready to go. Didn't really know the answer to that, but then one day I saw the chaplain come in and I saw someone else come into the hospital and they were visiting with her. And she says, how are you all doing? I want to pray for you. They were gone. I went to Alpha. I said, Alpha, I know why God has you here. It's because of the power of prayer. You keep praying for people. They come in, they want to minister to you, and they come in and you minister to them. That was not a gift in the church that was seen as wow. But as far as I was concerned, it was wow. Because she was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So folks, that's just one example. But I want you to know God wants Spirit-filled Christians to do all the work in the church. Don't say, well, I can do this because I'm not a Spirit-filled Christian. No. God wants you to be a Spirit-filled Christian no matter what it is you do. So ask God to fill you today. Ask God to do a mighty work in you today. It might mean you got work to do. God, I got to clean out some rooms because they're dirty. The church will not grow the way God wants it to grow unless we respond to God's call. So I'm challenging you and me this morning with that. Let's pray. God, sometimes when we come to church and we leave with a warm fuzzy, and other times we come to church and we leave with a little bit of a gut wrench, I pray, Lord, for us. This is a challenge morning. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize that all of us have a role in the Church of Jesus Christ, that none of us are exempt. No matter what kind of baggage we bring in, you can take that baggage and toss it. And you can fill us with your Holy Spirit in such a way that we can do whatever it is you've called us to be. And no task is too menial. And no task is too great. And every task is equally as important. Remind us of that. And help us to seek that. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's turn our closing hymn, number 284, also on the screen. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Would you stand with me?